Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God our Father, and from our ascended Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's a lot to be said about the ascension of Jesus Christ. We confess it in every creed of the Church. After his resurrection from the dead, Jesus appeared to his disciples, teaching them many things. He opened up the Old Testament to them, Moses and the prophets, so that they would not fall into Phariseeism or continue to wear the veil of Moses. He also taught them the theological meaning of things he had done, things that he promised the Holy Spirit would bring to their remembrance. During those 40 days, though, one thing Jesus didn't teach his apostles is when he would return to conquer the world and set all things right. 40 days after his resurrection, they had come together and asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority." Then he promised them the power to witness to the world his gospel by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. A cloud led Israel through the wilderness and rested on the temple when God was there. The Father came in a cloud on the mountaintop when Jesus was transfigured, and now Jesus ascended and a cloud took him from their sight. And he was seated at the right hand of God, meaning he was given governance of all things in heaven and on earth. Just as Joseph became Pharaoh's right-hand man, having all authority of Pharaoh himself, so too Jesus, not only the Son of God, but also as a true-born man, was raised up to be the right-hand man of the Father. The right hand of God is not a location, as we understand place and time. It is an authority. This is when Christ, the heir to the throne, ascends to the throne of heaven and assumes kingship of all creation. The ascension is the coronation of Christ, his crowning as king. And as such, we do well to observe it with just as much reverence and awe and thanksgiving as we do his crucifixion and his being raised from the dead. Lent and Easter focus on Jesus becoming our Savior from sin. The Ascension and Pentecost are about Jesus becoming our King who rules our hearts and minds by the regency of his Holy Spirit, whom he has poured out on us generously in our baptism through faith, which has made us citizens of the kingdom of God. The kingship of Christ is crucial, especially in our time. A lot of confusion has come up, especially over the last couple of years, over obedience to earthly government. Now, we are told to obey these earthly authorities because they are set up by God himself, and that is true enough. But they're not our true government. Canada is not our true country. Our citizenship is in heaven. Christ is our King. Many radicals and the prevailing pedagogical approach to teaching history in schools today is to teach the dangers of nationalism, of sort of blind loyalty to one's nation. This nationalism gave rise to Hitler and to other dictators. However, radicals want to replace Hitler's nationalism with a sort of democratic nationalism where all people rule all people. Many criticize this worship of equality as a sort of pie in the sky. Can't ever happen. We Christians should criticize it because it trades one sort of nationalism for another. When we know that there is only one nation of God, and that is Israel, and Israel is the church into which you were baptized, and through which you are blessed to be ruled by Christ the King. Call it nationalism if you want, It's no difference on the right or the left. It's the belief and the confidence that the world is to be redeemed through a rallying of people to certain political beliefs and causes. And the opportunism with which the government is used to support one's own interest is appalling. Then again, it's nothing new. It's amazing that the same Jews who were waiting for a Messiah to restore Israel from the hands of the Romans rejected God's Messiah and chanted to Pilate, "We have no king but Caesar." It's kind of like the shift you see in attitudes towards the Supreme Court of the United States. Abortion supporters praised the Supreme Court and went against those who opposed Roe v. Wade as trying to undermine the government. But now that decision looks to be overturned, and the same people, including the current president, are denigrating the Supreme Court, calling for people to resist. Don't be surprised. Opportunism and hypocrisy are the guiding principles of the world and always will be to those who look to an earthly king. This is because the prince of the present age is still Satan, and he prowls around like a roaring lion. He is a liar. He is a murderer. He was since the beginning and will be till the end of our age. And he uses our covetous hearts who want salvation now. He uses our hearts to give supreme authority to any institution on this earth that might undermine the worship of the true God. The church fathers of the Reformation first challenged the supremacy of the Pope by those who would say that he's infallible. I don't think anybody really believed it in any ultimate sense, but when Martin Luther preached justification by faith in Christ alone, the papists would rally and cry, "We have no Christ on earth but the Pope." So too, nobody really believes the government is infallible. But when the government backs your agenda, they magically become infallible to you, and those who resist or criticize become no friend of Caesar. All this to say, our government is in heaven. Christ is our King, and he rules over our hearts by faith through his word. He has ascended on high and has given gifts to men. Yes, he gives us parliaments and courts, but that government becomes an idol when it's treated as infallible. He gives us pastors and synods, but the religious authorities become an idol when they're treated as infallible. He gives us mothers and fathers, sons, daughters, husbands, wives, but these families become an idol when they're treated as more important than Christ. There's only one infallible king, only one infallible religion. That's the one that rightly preaches Christ's word and administers his sacraments. There's only one infallible family, and that consists of the mothers and brothers and sisters who hear Christ's word and keep it. They are infallible not in themselves, but insofar as they cling to and uphold his infallible word. But the world will have no king but Caesar. And we will have no Caesar but Christ. He died for our sins, was risen for our justification, and has ascended to the right hand of God to give us the kingdom. Once upon a time, it was idolatry to worship any man as a god, but now, God has become a man who rules all things by his word, and rules on high his church by the Spirit through faith. It is not for us to know when Christ will come again to set all things right. Let it be enough to know that those people or institutions who claim to be the saviors on earth are demons. We are called to live quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness. And in his ascension, he has given us the gifts to do so as we eagerly await his coming. We don't await the day of gender and racial equality. We don't await the day that ends school violence. We don't await an end to discrimination. We don't await an end to abortion. We don't await a day of net zero carbon emissions. We don't await a day for the West to stop Russia. We don't await a day to end COVID. We don't await a day to end hunger and poverty. We don't await a return to the days when things were once better. We don't await that day when our tax dollars will be better spent. We don't await the coming of any Caesar or Pope. We live peaceable and quiet lives as we await the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He gives us the peace which surpasses all understanding, the peace of a clear conscience as we wait for him. He will fight for us on that day, and all will be revealed. He will not return to us in government initiatives, church growth, reform of any institutions. He will not come once famine has ended, once disease is cured, and once war is finally over. This Jesus, who was taken up from us into heaven, will come the same way as we saw him go into heaven. He will come from the cloud and in great glory. And he alone will restore the kingdom to Israel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which passes our understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.